The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. Father Mitch Pacwa is joining us, and that certainly is a voice that viewers or listeners to EWTN will certainly recognize. Father, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So nice to be with y'all. Nice of you to join us.
And
you're a Jesuit?
I am.
Where
I am for 54 years.
54. God bless you. He has, right?
Yeah.
Father, where'd you grow up?
I was born in Chicago. When I was 2.5, we moved down to Florida. And then we came back to Chicago after a few years. So I grew up, and we had lived in a number of different places, all the way from Colorado Springs and Wilmington, Delaware, and Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, beautiful.
Actually in Aurora. My father worked at the racetracks repairing, presumably not fixing, repair mutual betting machines. So I grew up around racetracks.
Okay. Well, that being said, you know, moving to all those places, is it hard to keep the faith because you're changing parishes, maybe changing schools?
Well, certainly changed schools, but I went to 6 public schools in just those first 2 years of school.
Wow.
So went to lots of public schools. And then when we came back to Chicago, I did go to a Catholic school for the first time.
What grade was that, Father?
Third grade.
Okay.
And in fact, while there, I was able to make my first Holy Communion. Now, that itself was pretty cool. Yesterday was the 64th anniversary of my first Communion. So it's been a while.
That's for sure.
But it was also important because it was while preparing for First Communion that I felt the call to be a priest. So that really began back then.
Did you feel something special that day that stayed with you for all of these 64 years?
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, I had a good friend. We're still good friends. He lives up in the Toledo area now, and he started me going to daily mass, which was a good thing. I think I was a little bit lazy myself, but with his encouragement, we'd start in fourth grade, right after we made First Communion together. We would go to daily mass. That was one of the options in the parish. So it was part of my life and pretty much became part of my life ever since.
How important is that, Father, to be, we hear pastors talk about it all the time or homilists, nourished, daily nourishment.
Yeah. Well, see, it's not just nourishment because I think very often, people so focused on that nourishment side of the Eucharist that sometimes they forgot about the sacrificial side of it And you had a number of people who talked about the fellowship. It's nourishment, but it's a nourishment that focuses us on the person Jesus Christ. That has to be kept central, that it's our relationship with Jesus Christ that is key here.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot in any way allow even the notion of nourishment to get in the way or to obscure, better, that'd be a better way to put it. We can't let it obscure any of our focus on the person Jesus Christ. And that has been one of the problems of Eucharistic devotion over the last, I'd say, 50 years or so, since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis started to move towards fellowship and the community and things like that, all of which are important. Again, I don't want to deny those elements. But it's not just, you know, some sort of fellowship or something. It's it's union with Jesus Christ that is the key, and we can't neglect that.
Now, Father, as you were growing up, was weekly Mass, well, I mean, daily Mass for you, but the family, did you pray at home?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
My dad was not particularly committed to the faith. As a matter of fact, he was a creaster. Christmas and Easter.
I know the term.
Yes. You know, which is insufficient, to say the least. So, he didn't go. My mother and her family in general were much more committed to the Catholic faith than my father and his family. My father's mother did not particularly go to church either. My dad's father had been left Poland because he was a murderer. So there were, I'd say, a number of problems.
Yes, I'd say so. I would say so.
Yeah.
But now, yeah. Your call, you felt it first at your first communion.
Right.
How did that progress over the years in your vocation?
Well, you know, one of the things to keep in mind, and people who know me have a fairly clear picture of this, up until I was 8 years old, the only thing I wanted to be, truly the only thing I wanted to be, was a cowboy.
I had my Roy Rogers boots, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, and I didn't want to be anything else. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be a cowboy. And then at eight, I felt the call to the priesthood, so that's what I did.
We're going to pick it up right there when we come back after a break. Father Mitch Packwood joining us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. You're in tune to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back. We're with Father Mitch Packwood, who you hear right here on AM 1260 The Rock, as well as EWTN Television. Father, thank you for joining us. We've taken your kind of vocation story up to wanting to be a cowboy. And again, when did the call start to grow in you?
Well, let's say right away. I mean, after, you know, I made First Communion, I was 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be anything except a priest. Now, I did want to see if I could combine some cowboy stuff in there. and there is that element still in me. I still get back to Texas as often as I can. I love it there. I hunt a lot, and I've even you know, gone out to Wyoming a few times at friends' ranches and drove cattle, and I love that stuff still. But obviously that has to take a back seat to my commitment to the priesthood. That's number one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any kind of regret about, you know, giving that up. There's something about the West and, cowboy life that I would love as much as anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, in fact, I really know that the priesthood is what I'm supposed to do. This is what, you know, I've been called to, and I'm happy to be doing it.
Well, hunting a couple times a year, that probably satisfies a little bit of that. That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, to say the least.
You wrote a book, How to Listen When God is Calling, and that's such an important thing for people to discern. And what's your suggestion? Tell me about the book.
Well, here's, in many ways, this is based on my own sense of that call to the priesthood. I very much, you know, had to discern that. And it took quite a number of years before I entered the Jesuits, and it was a process of discernment. I considered a number of other possibilities, including the possibility of going to the Josephites. I remember when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, we had the beginnings of the racial problems in our culture.
True.
And I was very concerned about that. Having lived in Miami, it's very much the segregated South in those days. Miami in the 1950s was very much a small Southern town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a city, but still it was a small Southern city. And it was not what it is today by any means. And I think to see, you know, what was going on in those days as something that had a big impact on me is crucial, because, you know, so much of the tensions that we felt, you know, about race were crucial to, you know, the way I thought. It seemed like such an evil and dumb thing to be racist. You know, that made no sense to me as a little kid. Why can't the black kids come to our school?
Yeah.
You know, it just made no sense. And this was, you know, part of why I wanted to join the Josephites. And yet, you know, they had a minor seminary system where you went, or you went to the seminary to live. And as a result, I thought, well, this is not going to work out very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents were absolutely against me leaving home at 14 to go live in some seminary.
Uh-huh.
That was out of the question. But, you know, I then chose that I would go to the minor seminary in Chicago for the archdiocese. I felt some attraction to religious life, but then very much wanted to go to a seminary where I could, and that included going to the archdiocese. Now, my father was dead set against that. He opposed. In fact, he told me when I was 16, he certainly fought hard against me becoming a priest and even starting the seminary. But then when I entered or wanted to go to the minor seminary, he was very upset. And then after being really upset for a while, he let it be, because my mom said she wanted me to do what I wanted to do. She didn't push me towards or against the seminary. And that's a part of the discernment process. And I had to discern that, you know, and deal with the fact that by going against my father in such a clear way, I was making a serious decision. And then as I was in the minor seminary, I had to help. You know, my parents didn't have much, so I had to help out with preparing for tuition to go to seminary. In those days, you know, you had to pay your own way through.
When and where did you enter?
I entered in 1963 at the Minor Seminary for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Okay.
And as I was there, you know, I got a job. I had jobs since I was in 7th, 8th grade. I would take my money. I could tell, even in high school as a sophomore, there's no money to be made from interest. Interest rates in the banks are like 2%. So this is not a good future. So I decided when I was 15 to start investing my wages in the stock market. Now, of course, I was well underage. In those days, you had to be 21
right,
to buy
right.
stock. By that point, we were still living in Chicago. I found ways to get around it. I knew somebody in the banking industry, and he made me promise that I wouldn't sue him if I lost my shirt. I said, look, this is my decision. I have to take responsibility. So, don't worry. I'll never sue him. And I never did. I didn't lose money.
Yeah.
One of the shares went from my $50 investment to $550.
We have to talk after the show, Father, because I'm not doing so well this year. Stay right where you are, Father.
You and the rest of the country.
That's right. Father Mitch Packwood joining us on God Calling. We'll be back right after these messages. Father Mitch Packwood joining us here on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host. Father, you've traveled extensively, many visits to the Holy Land, fluent in about a dozen languages, I believe. When did that all happen? Was that during seminary study?
Can I just pick up something that we were talking about before?
Sure.
About the discernment process.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that while I was, learning how to invest in the stock market and such, and sometimes I was doing rather well with the little ahead, I also began to see that that was a strong temptation.
Oh.
I began to realize that I was getting awfully focused on the stock market. And as a result, I feared that this would distract me from my vocation as a priest. And I might focus more on my portfolio than on my flock. And I really worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think with good reason. So that's when I started considering religious life again. And this was something that very much further upset my father. I felt the call to religious life. And then when I was 16, I said, it's as if it was an inspiration that I'm not going to be a diocesan priest. And 3 days later, I said, I'm going to be a Jesuit. I'd never met or seen a Jesuit in my life. But I felt strongly called to it. So when I told my dad a couple months later, again, discernment takes time. When I told my dad, he said that the day you become a Jesuit priest, that's the day you're out of my will. Now, my dad, and I knew this very strongly, my dad didn't just say stuff.
Okay.
He meant what he said. And sure enough, the day of my first Mass, he disinherited me. But I knew he would.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly thought to myself, well, I couldn't have kept it anyway. But even I was so much of a smart mouth that I went ahead and said that. I thought it, but I kept it to myself.
It kept you focused, is what it sounds like. The
exactly.
Exactly. On your vocation.
This is something that I very much needed to take a clear focus on. So then I took time to learn about the Jesuits, and that's part of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you feel an attraction to something, you have to study and find out what is it and what's going on, and see if this is not just some kid's idea, or is this really what God wants you to do?
Are parents doing that today? I had a guest on that
I fear not. My concern is that so many parents are so focused on their kids' success, and often I fear that the whole culture is focused on a superficial notion of what's going to make mm-hmm. you happy, instead of on what does God, our Lord, think would be best for you.
We had a guest on some months ago, a couple of months ago, that you had on last week, and he had an interesting quote, and that's Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Burke-Sivers.
Sivers, yeah, yes, yeah. I'm sorry. And he said, yeah. You know, confirmation is like Catholic graduation. And that just stuck with me that, you know, it's okay, we've done yeah. that now, and you move on to the next. And, you know, I thought that's yeah. really kind of sad. And he's accurate.
It's
he's right.
More than sad. It's wrong. It's because it's not graduation. It's the first step of empowerment.
Exactly.
To become a good Catholic. You know, you need the strength of the Holy Spirit in order to do what God wants. You can't do this. And look at the temptations that are throughout our world. Where is a young person, nowadays men and women, where is a young person going to find the moral strength to avoid things like addiction to pornography?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? In this world, you need the strength of the Holy Spirit to help you discern, you know, ways to fight against this. And when I was a kid, they focused on the way that confirmation makes you a soldier of Christ. That became unpopular after the Vietnam War. But it's foolish to make that a case of popularity or not, because we are fighting against terrible sin and wrong. We have to be strengthened, and there needs to be a lot more sense of the fight against sin and evil in our world than I fear that we have today.
We can't do it alone. We need this.
No, no, no. As St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we are not fighting against mere flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. You look at, you know, we're seeing it right now. Look at the forces of death that are more committed. I mean, the foolish mayor of Chicago is saying, and the governor as well, we want Illinois and Chicago to be a haven for abortion. You've got people murdering each other, and now you're saying, yeah, we're going to be a haven for killing our babies, too.
Wow.
What evil is this?
Satan's very busy these days, Father. Then you look over abroad in the Ukraine, and on it goes.
I know. And as my Bible says, Ein kol chadash tachat ha-shamash, there's nothing new under the sun. This is what's been going on, just different forms of the evil.
Yes. When and where can people hear you and watch you as well?
Well, you know, certainly at EWTN Live.
Right.
Where, you know, on Wednesday nights, and also Scripture and Tradition on Tuesdays in the afternoon and the evening. Those are my standard hangouts.
7:30, the Rosary. In the morning.
Oh, yeah, on the Rosary every morning.
on television,
you
yeah.
You know, that's been going on since 1993, so I sometimes forget that. Take it for granted.
Yep. Well, Father, this has been a delightful show. I really appreciate you joining us. Father Mitch Pacwa, God bless you, and God bless you for listening, everyone else. Hope you'll join us each and every week at this time. I'm Paul Orlowski. The name of the show, God Calling, on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.